Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app and Portland's sports leader, 1080, The Fan.
Girl, you something else.
When UConn cut down the nets, Danny Hurley decided in honor of WrestleMania, I'm going to cut some promos here. And rightfully so, when your team holds a team in the national championship game to 14% shooting from three, where you wouldn't have ever have guessed it last year, or last night rather, but Purdue shot 40% from three this season. They were the third best three-point shooting team in the country. And they went one for seven from beyond the arc. And it was sheer dominance by the Connecticut Huskies. And it was sad at the end of that game to watch Purdue down 17 with like 3 minutes to play.
They rolled over.
Just sitting there and continuing to, hey, we're just going to dump the ball in the post to Edie. And like, because that's all they could do, because UConn was like, take it. We'll give it to you.
Yeah, they took away all their shooters. They had no shooting in the game.
We're going to do
one of seven from three?
We are going to let Zach Edie get his 37 points, and we are going to foul the living hell out of him. And Zach Edie, he is the guy, he does not get called for so many fouls. Dude just swings his elbows around recklessly.
Well, he gets the benefit on both, or he takes the brunt of it on both sides.
But my gosh, there were some fouls where you were looking at it, and Samson Johnson, who fouled out, he was just looking around like, "What? Are you gonna call me for that, but not for the elbow that I just took to my temple?"
Mm-hmm. it's when you're that big. Number one, you get mauled on the offensive end, and so
I understand it.
Yeah, but I mean, on the defensive end, you're allowed to get away with some stuff just because you're a massive human.
On the offensive end is where he fouls mostly. Oh. I think like he, every time he tries to pivot, his elbow is just, he's leading with his elbow around.
Well, I mean, everybody does that. Just the fact that he's 7'4" makes it eyebrow height,
which is
problematic.
Illegal. And when you lead with the elbow and you're not coming around with the ball, that's also where the foul is.
He's got a little nasty with him.
He does. I'm here for it. Yeah. I'm here for it. He had a hell of a game. We got to talk about him. Yeah. We got to talk about him a little bit later. But Dan Hurley, we got to talk about the winners.
My man went full red ass.
He was cutting wrestling promos because he started on the podium with this.
Yo, UConn's been running for the last 25, 30 years. UConn's been running college basketball. And I see all the former champs over there. And we've been running college basketball the last 30 years. Let's go.
I would say six national titles in 25 years is running college basketball.
6-0 in title games.
They have more national titles than Duke and North Carolina combined since they won their first.
Mm-hmm.
We think of them as like, they're a great program. We don't hold them in the regard that we do Duke and North Carolina, and it's about damn time we do.
I think that's your age.
Good.
Because my age of people, like, I think of UConn as a blue blood.
They're not covered the same. They are not covered nearly the same, despite the fact that in the last two NCAA tournaments, not only have they been dominating teams, they've covered the spread in every single game. They're not just beating the teams. They're beating Vegas.
Yeah, they're beating the brakes off. Like, right. They can't set it high enough.
That is crazy.
They're dominating. But, like, for my age of people, it's the same thing with Tennessee football. Like, remember last year when Tennessee football was good and – not to call you guys old, but your age of people was saying like, oh, it's great to have Tennessee back on top. And people who are my age are like, what are you talking about? Tennessee has never been on top. Or when they were, it's not something that I had witnessed before, right? UConn, their first title win is in what, 99? So at some point I have seen, and my generation has seen all of their titles.
Yep.
To us, UConn is a blue blood. To us, UConn is on par with Duke and North Carolina. They might not get the same coverage, but to us, like when I think of UConn, I think of championships in college basketball.
That's fair, but they aren't covered the same because this year, Duke and North Carolina, like North Carolina was talked about as this number one. Remember when we talked about the seeding? I was like, I don't like North Carolina as a number one seed. They don't feel that great to me, but they were talked about and covered this year in a manner that North Carolina always gets. Hell, UCLA was still getting coverage halfway through the season, and you're looking around like, they suck. And so you get Kansas, you know, the Hunter Dickinson transfers to Kansas, so they're getting, it's like, When was the last time you saw a UConn game, which is hilarious, because where's ESPN located?
Bristol, Connecticut.
When was the last time UConn was the featured matchup?
Well, Big East is Fox.
But even then,
we're going network wars.
Well, I mean, I'm just saying they are Fox.
You can still get the national games on,
right?
And that's what I'm saying. Like,
you're right.
The Big East has those matchups that get national recognition, and UConn is never in that zeitgeist. Villanova, even though they're Big East, guess where they're at? They're in that zeitgeist every single time we talk about they. Jay Wright kicked down the blue blood door and said, "Villanova's a blue blood. Deal with it." For whatever reason, even though UConn has been more successful than Villanova, UConn still hasn't been able to break through whatever weird paradox that exists. Does somebody have to leave the blue blood program? Like, does somebody need to tell UCLA to get out for UConn to get in?
Yeah, they don't. I'm going to tell you right now, UCLA in Arizona. They don't belong.
They haven't been effective in 30 years.
If you think about the most dominant programs over like the last 25 years, I mean, it probably is. Well, it's UConn. Then you can go down to
Kansas, Villanova,
Kansas, Duke, North Carolina, then Villanova. Yeah, I mean, Villanova's got two national titles. Mm-hmm. They've got two national titles, but they had Final Four runs in 2009, 2016, 2018, 2022.
That's a lot of Final Fours.
Pretty damn good. Yeah. And they won in 16 and 18. And that, to me, you're sitting there and you're going, yeah, they don't. In the last 25 years, they don't have the titles that match up because North Carolina and Duke have each won three mm-hmm. in that span. And they've gone to their Final Fours, too. But those are the blue blood programs as we should be thinking about them because it's a quarter of a century. If you look at a quarter of a century body of work, yeah, pretty impressive. Now, Villanova may be right back out of it because of the fact that Jay Wright's gone and Kyle Neptune can't find his way into the tournament anymore. You know, that's a huge issue that we're looking at with Villanova is that, no, maybe it was just Jay Wright. Maybe it was Jay Wright because they weren't good from, you know, Raleigh Massimino. They had, what, the Kerry Kittles run in the tournament? And then that was... But that wasn't even a Final Four berth. I think they only made it to the Sweet 16 with Kerry Kittles at Villanova. But it was like you went from 1985, and then it wasn't until Jay Wright got his hooks in the early 2000s that you sit there and you go, all right, that is, now Villanova basketball mm-hmm. is back to being competitive again. It's not even close. It's UConn right now. Like, Dan Hurley's cutting a wrestling promo, but he's not wrong.
He's not wrong. Like, he was talking a whole heap of crap, but he wasn't wrong. It's just that nobody ever says it out loud.
But is he more right on this that he had at the podium?
I just think it's the best two-year run, I think, in a very, very long time, just because of everything we lost from last year's team. To lose that much and again, to do what we did again you know, it's got to be as impressive a two-year run as a program's had since prior to whoever did it before Duke. To me, it is more impressive than what Florida and Duke did because they brought back their entire teams, and you know we lost some major players.
All right, so what he is saying, the last two-year run, back-to-back national titles, first time we've seen it since 06-07, in these last two seasons, they are 68-11 to win their back-to-back national titles. You go back to the previous back-to-back national title winners in
Florida.
Florida, where they, I'm trying to figure out, they're all screwed up. But if you go back to Billy Donovan running that ship there in their 2 years, they went 33-6, 35-5. So they were 68-11,
mm-hmm.
identical record. Mike Krzyzewski at Duke, when he went back to back, which is the next previous one, they went 68-9. They played two less games.
Cowards.
Yeah. 91-92 is a long time ago. Mm-hmm. But when you think about it, like, this probably is the most dominant run since we've seen John Wooden at UCLA. Yeah.
And it is even more so because of the state of college basketball.
I think that that is what makes it exponentially more impressive.
Yeah, because you look at those teams that Florida had, and you had not just multiple NBAers. You had multiple, like, very good NBA players. And Horford and Noah. Horford's still playing.
They had Al Horford, Joakim Noah, Corey Brewer.
Torian Green.
Torian Green.
Who had a cup of coffee.
Lee Humphreys was the fifth one.
Who had a cup of coffee as well.
And those all five of those guys
came back
to run it back and to repeat. UConn had to do it with a completely different set of starters. You had three. Well,
Cleo was the backup.
Three of five of your starters had to be replaced this year. That's incredible to go through and to do that in this era of college basketball, where you hit strike when the iron's hot. Boom, your ass is in the portal. National championship or not.
Yeah.
You know, you usually will see those guys say, "Hi, how much money am I going to make?" Or a coach goes and takes off for greener pastures. And Dan Hurley is saying no on all accounts, which is incredible that you can keep those guys in and say, "You're not leaving."
And coach them hard.
And to be an a-hole like he is.
Because he's a
and guys don't want to leave.
Yeah, he's a red ass of red asses. And he gets after you. Like, this is what he's doing in public. Imagine what he's doing when the cameras are off.
I want to see that.
You know what I mean? Like,
I 100%.
He's a guy who he gets after guys.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, this isn't Bobby Knight, but like, he gets after guys. It's not a gentle coddling of players. It's hard coaching.
Yeah,
and that's what every guy has talked about with him.
And boy, he can one up his brother. His brother may have won back to back when he was at Duke, but he went back to back as a coach.
Yeah.
Meanwhile, Arizona State can't get up off the mat.
Is that better than going back-to-back as a player?
I think so. I think it is. It's harder. It's much harder to do because you're not in charge of as many things as a player. You just get out there and you play and you work. As a coach, there's so many variables that you can't control. And as a coach, you have to make sure the ship is still steered in the right direction, and that's going to be the hardest part as UConn tries to go for three in a row, which we have not seen since the great John Wooden won from 1967 through 1975.
That's even before Jeff Rust.
That is wild. Or, excuse me, 67 to 73, not 75. 67 to 73. Sorry, two extra championships I got in there. He ended up winning in 64 and 65, though. So he won 64, 65, didn't win on 66. What
Coward.
A bum. And then went 67 to 73. That's 8 of 9 national titles.
Yeah, go ahead and take
UCLA.
A look and see who was on those teams.
They were pretty good.
It's like 3 Hall of Famers.
Plus, they had a pyramid.
They had a pyramid of success, and John Wooden had a bagman.
Mm-hmm.
Like, he had...
There's no way they would have paid those players back then.
John Wooden may have had the OG bag man. Like, it was, and they went to great lengths to protect that.
Not John Wooden. He would never.
Because he had the pyramid of success, which what you didn't see was the buried layer of the pyramid, which is the base, and that's a bag of cash.
It's in and out bags.
And as Matt Painter eloquently put it, it's like everybody thinks that. NIL means the best programs are going to get the best players. Let's be honest with ourselves. That's been happening for decades.
Going back and looking at those title teams, there's not one yet that doesn't have 5 NBA players on it.
Oh, really?
Are you kidding? There we go. Found one. And it was Sidney Wicks, Curtis Rose, Steve Patterson, Henry Bibby.
All right. We got a text here at 503-864-6326, a Vancouver Ford text line. When the numbers eventually come out about this men's tournament, I think a lot of people are going to be in the same place
mm-hmm.
next on The Fan.